Welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorize about what may be coming next. We are your hosts, Lisa and Cameron, and this week we're going to be revisiting some of Taylor's most memorable live lyric changes, from unreleased song additions, shout-outs to very specific people, and of course, her latest ad-lib while singing Karma. So this episode was basically sparked by the recent Karma lyric, which has exploded on the internet, but has always been a very interesting topic for us. We talk about lyrics a lot. We love lyric changes. We love...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we love to explore the evolution
of
lyrics.
We love a handwritten lyric.
We do.
An OG lyric.
We do.
A lyric change. Or anything that adds more context to the story, we are... big fans of.
And this is basically the other way around. So instead of seeing how a lyric evolved into what it becomes for the studio version of a song, this is now how a studio version of a song evolves into a live version of the song. And in some of these cases, these changes really affect the meaning of some of these songs as a whole. They recontextualize songs, they change certain things, they make you look at certain lyrics in a different way. Other ones that we're going to be talking about also are just mentions of specific places or events, mishaps and mistakes, and also additions of completely different things that weren't there before. But before we get into these few additions and few changes in live lyrics, we wanted to give a quick disclaimer to say that these are some of the most interesting ones that we found or we remembered throughout the years, and we try to represent all of her 10 eras in some way or another. However, they are certainly not every single lyric change that she's ever made, especially the ones that are mistaken lyrics, and also the ones that are, you know, references to the places in which she is singing a certain song. So if there are any lyrics, that live lyric changes that you can think of that we don't mention in this video, then please go ahead and leave us a comment over on YouTube where you can tell us, you know, what are some live lyric changes that have really stuck out to you that we may have missed.
Yeah, and also on that as well, if you are interested in scrap lyrics and change of lyrics, make sure to check out our 13 scrapped Taylor Swift lyrics episode, because that we go into lots of detail about all sorts of different lyrics across Taylor's career. And I really, really love that episode. As we kind of said, we love delving into things like that. But yeah, let's kind of get into some of these live lyric changes, because yeah, they're just as exciting as the original ones.
So we're going to go into chronological order, starting with Permanent Marker, which we can't even include in the debut era because it is an unreleased song, unfortunately. This is an interesting one. Permanent Marker, as we know, is unreleased, so there isn't really a studio version, but in the version that is... It is on the internet, basically. It's
released,
on
yeah.
It is, yeah. At this point, it is released, but not. There is no bridge. It just is a repetition of the chorus a few times at the end of the song. However, in the live version, she adds an entire bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is probably one of my favorite ones out of this list, actually, because I think it just adds... Taylor loves a bridge, and I think this one, probably what it was that one that we... The version that was leaked as a studio is probably maybe like the original kind of recording of it, and maybe while she was on tour performing around like late 2007 or, you know, during 2007, sorry, she probably then added this. And she even says in some of the live recordings that this song is going to be on her next album, and, you know, and explains the kind of details behind it. So it was probably a bit of a work in progress, and maybe this bridge, hopefully, fingers crossed, we get Permanent Marker on debut Taylor's version. And if we do, I would love to see this added lyric added, because I think it just adds so much more to the song. So are you going to kind of reveal what
it
is?
So the added bridge, the additional lyrics are, "I don't appreciate you calling him to reminisce. The only reason is you're seeing how much better off he is."
Which is the most sassiest, like,
it's very debut Taylor. Yeah.
And the way she says it.
We will eventually get around to speaking about debut Taylor's version, what we hope from it. This, like you just said, is one of the major ones that a lot of people will want to see, you know, spruced up, and with this bridge included would be amazing. But it does have some some problems it may have to overcome. We'll get into that hopefully soon in the future soon. A little teaser there for a future episode. But yeah, it's so country, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that her accent, like I don't appreciate you, yep, calling him. That's it's it. Like the way she's like reminisce. Yep. You know what I mean? It's just like it, like she turns the southern accent
an X
on, you know,
that doesn't
high.
Know. Yeah, she's an X.
Yeah. Yep. X. This next one's about X. Yes, I love it. So yeah, I love this addition. And yeah, it does just add an extra layer to the song and an extra kind of sass and bite to it. So yeah, I love this addition. I think it's really, really cool. And fingers crossed we get permanent marker, and fingers crossed we get this added addition.
Next up, continuing on in the debut era, a properly released song now, Tim McGraw. This is one of the cases of songs that basically had a change that was many, many changes. So this lyric changed depending on wherever Taylor was performing in that moment. And basically it is an addition of the name of the radio station in which she was at into the lyric of Tim McGraw. When you turn your radio on, she would say like, when you turn whatever the radio name station was radio
on. Yeah, like
on.
Yahoo Music or exactly. Yeah, XM or...
Yeah.
But the thing is there's so, like, this was during the time when Taylor literally probably went to every single radio station in the entirety
of the
United States.
That was basically her debut tour. She was touring radio.
Yeah, basically touring radios. That it's impossible to kind of track every single one. But yeah, that was kind of what she did. And during like live performances and stuff, for like Yahoo Music and things like that, she mentioned it. But I think it's a really cool addition and would have really got people, I think it was very clever, because it really would have got the radio stations on board, and it probably meant that they would maybe have played that version a bit more. And you know, it's a bit more enticing, isn't it? Because it seems like you've done your research, you know where you are.
That's true. It really shows Taylor's level of personalization and dedication right from the get-go. So she could have just sat there and sung Tim McGraw the same every time and said, you know, someday you'll turn your radio on and that's it. But she went to each and every one, and that is why there are, so like you said, so many versions that you can find, and said, you know, when you turn, someday you'll turn XM radio on, someday you'll turn whatever 300 whatever radio on. And that means she did her research, she sat for each one, she's singing it live, she's performing, and people went wild for that at the radio stations because it was a nice little shout out
No, I think this one doesn't really change much about Tim McGraw, but was still a fun addition. And realistically, even that, ironically, obviously, the person that Tim McGraw is about, when they do turn that said radio station on, they will think about her because she's there on that radio station.
That's true.
Literally saying, you know. So, yeah, I guess it adds an extra meaning. But, yeah, that's still a fun one.
Next up, we move on to the Fearless era. And during the Fearless tour for the song Fearless, she would change the lyric. And instead of singing In This Moment Now, Capture It, Remember It, she would basically replace In This Moment Now to wherever she was performing. So, for example, she would sing like California Now or Houston, Texas Now, Capture It, Remember It, which was the one that was featured on like the Journey to Fearless DVD. So again, it's very similar to the Tim McGraw one. It kind of calls out where you are in that moment, and it's a nice way to personalize the song a little bit.
Yeah, it is. It makes the song a bit more personal when you're there. You'd be like, ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a later edition that we'll get onto during the 1989 era as well, where it's very similar. Mm-hmm. And it's just quite a fun moment. It just makes it a bit more fun and a bit more personal. And like you said, is in a very similar vein to the Tim McGraw edition of the radio station.
Another one that is from a Fearless song, should I say, but not from the Fearless era, because it was only done very, very recently during the era's tour, is an addition to the song 15. And during the bridge, she sung the whole bridge and, you know, sung like We Both Cried, but then added a little bit and said, but that's all right. And Abby was there in Abigail was there in the audience, which is so, for her to just have sweet. Added that little bit after everything. Oh.
I know, exactly. Like everything they've been through, and especially, you know, Abigail at that time recently, like, yeah, that must have been so special. Like to have a song, a Taylor Swift song about you anyway, is so unbelievably special. To be there when she performs it even more, and then to add this little addition of a lyric is just so sweet. And I think this really feels like like Taylor's version of like the retrospective and just the grown element and, you know, just more mature. It's lovely. Just it melts my little heart.
I definitely think this is one of those lyrics that we have mentioned as being lyric additions or changes that have like shifted the whole song, because it makes you see it in a different way. It's not just, you know, they're 15 and, you know, we both cried, but when you're 15, blah, blah, blah. This time it's like, but it's okay. We grew up from that and we continue on and they're still, you know, really close. Oh, yeah. Love that. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Very, very sweet. Yeah. It's just like, we cry, but it's all right. You know, we're 15. You know, it's just, oh, I love it. It's very, very sweet.
Moving on to the Speak Now era. And similarly to that last one, we have another lyric that changes things or adds extra details. It's from Back to December. And this is such an iconic one. I think this one a lot of people will have thought of whenever they saw, you know, the name of this episode. And that is during the Speak Now World Tour when she sung "So This Is For The Boy" from Michigan.
God, she... Every so often Taylor does something and he's just like, just you are nuts. You know what I mean?
Live.
Like,
yeah.
You are nuts. Like, that is just so, like the most, you know, pointed thing of like, yeah, this is about you. You know what I mean? As if you didn't already make it obvious. Yeah. But, you know, I just love it sometimes when she does these things.
She always does it on the bridge as well. If you, like, a lot of these are all, like, bridge changes. So, obviously, in Back to December, this would have replaced "So If The Chain Is On Your Door, I Understand." And she was performing in Michigan. A certain Taylor Lautner was in the audience. And yeah, she did that. She likes to do a little thing like this every so often and be a bit unhinged. Yep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I just love it. It's just the fact that obviously she thought about it and like would have been like when she was singing it, remember, because obviously, you know, like you'd have to actively go out of your way to say it.
Yeah, because if not, you're a bit
you've been on tour.
Exactly. You're a bit on auto, you're kind of autopilot. Yeah. Because you know exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, this is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
So mine too. This is for the boy from Michigan.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it wasn't an original, like an actual Back to December lyric, because I do much prefer "Chain on the Door."
Oh god, yeah. I mean, it's
because it adds more of metaphor, isn't it? It's more metaphorical.
Definitely, yeah.
But I do love it as just a fun little addition here and there, or just for the once. But yeah,
and also, you know, being in Michigan on that night and hearing that, you know, even if you're not Taylor Lautner and you're just a random person in Michigan, you're like, oh my god, that's me. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a bit more in the vein slightly with like the Fearless Tim McGraw ones where it's like adding the place.
Yeah,
but obviously, yeah, like you said, it's double whammy. Yeah, kills two birds with one stone.
Next up, another one from Speak Now is another iconic one. A lot of people remember this one very fondly. It's just one of those ones that is not so much unhinged, but it was a very amazing moment to savor. And that is when she sung "Mean" at the Grammys. And she sung "Someday I'll Be Singing This at the Grammys, and All You're Ever Going to Be Is Mean." And it was such a full circle moment.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
"Mean," when you think the story of, behind
it. Yeah, where "Mean" came from. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, again, just you're like with the last one, like, you're crazy. Like, that is the coolest, most like F you, you know what I mean?
Oh,
to that
definitely.
Person.
Yeah.
That Grammy performance was the reason that person just slated her, was horrid, she got loads of shit for it. Obviously wrote "Mean," then won a Grammy
for "Mean,"
for that song.
Yep. And then sang it.
You know,
as
for
well.
"Mean."
Yeah.
And then sang it and was like, yep. And someday I'll be singing this at the Grammys. You know what I mean? Winning a Grammy. Like, it's the most just like, yeah, oh, I love it. I think that one's so cool. I remember back in the day, that was just like, everyone went wild for that. It was just like, oh my God.
It is a good one. It is one of the most memorable ones from this list, I have to say, as it was seen by a lot of people. And it's just, it's just a full circle moment, like the story that you just told of "Mean." And if you want to hear more about that story of "Mean," you can check out our Speak Now Stories series, where we dive into all of the stories behind Speak Now, and we talk about a little bit more about "Mean" and how it was quite a full circle moment. But yeah, this was just part of that experience and journey, and a very, very iconic one. The last one from the Speak Now era is for a lead single. It's "Mine," and it's not an additional live lyric, it's a forgotten lyric. And we know that there are thousands of times, or not thousands, but quite a few times that Taylor has kind of like forgotten a lyric or replaced one with another, things like that. And those aren't really live additions in the same vein as the other ones. But we wanted to mention this one because it was quite a funny and memorable one. And just because of the fact that "Mine" is the lead single from Speak Now. And this was like
Speak Now, and literally was during Red Tour. Yeah. So like, only an era after.
Exactly.
You know, like, she was only one lead single away. To be fair, it was quite late on. I believe it was on the Asian leg of the tour when she kind of had the 1989 hair. So, you know, she was probably in the midst of writing 1989. So
she had a lot in her mind.
A little, yeah. But it is like, you know, it's not like a rogue song that, you know, like nowadays from the Eras tour, it's not like a debut song that she's pulling out that she hasn't performed ever or something.
Right.
So yeah, this one is funny.
Yeah. So as you just mentioned, sometimes during the Eras tour as well, she's kind of like forgotten a lyric or stopped and redone a part of a song because she's accidentally mucked something up. Even for Death by a Thousand Cuts, which is a very recent song, really, although at the same time not recent because of all of the lyrical things that she's put out since then. But anyway, during this Mine performance at the Red Tour, she basically forgot most of the bridge and she just sang, "I remember that fight, 2:30 a.m. I stormed out and said yeah," and pulled that out
and
for as long
the
as
fact
she could.
That she did, yeah, like, it's the fact that she just like didn't acknowledge that she totally forgot basically like a good 30 seconds of the song.
She just went with it.
And yeah, just, and yeah, it's like she didn't even acknowledge it. It was like, yeah, and I said, yeah, you know, bless her. So yeah, that one is a funny one.
Then we can move into the Red era, and we have We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, which obviously she performed countless times because it is, you know, the lead single from that era. No forgotten lyrics this time, but a lot of changes that this song has experimented throughout time. Again, during the bridge. So, for example, a notable one is he calls me up and he's like, "I still love you, blah, blah, blah." And then she says, "Sorry, I'm busy opening the Grammys." And again, it's very much in the vein of the previous Mean lyric.
The Mean. Yeah, it is. And again, it's just like that kind of sense, like, oh my God, leave me alone. I'm busy. You know what I mean? I'm busy opening the most prestigious award, a music award show. You know, like, it's just so, just, yeah, just all of these have an element of sass to them, don't they?
They
like,
do.
I think these lyric changes.
She just suddenly.
Because it's almost like.
Just goes for it. And
it's like they come out of nowhere. Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, something just like goes, and she's like, oh, and something
she's
happens
like,
that maybe she should
out.
Have thought twice about before she said it. But no, I love this one. I love this one. Yeah, he calls me up and he's like, "I still love you." She's like, "Sorry, I'm busy opening the grab." Like,
and we
alone,
are never getting back together.
And also, this was around the time of when a certain One Direction member and her, you know, publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So it also was very, like,
British
well-timed.
Accent.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and she did it in a British accent, yes.
I still love you.
This. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So this obviously went viral at the time.
Right.
This is a bit like the one at the moment that is going viral that we'll get into, because this was very well-timed.
Yeah, it was relevant, definitely, yeah.
And yes, very, very relevant. So that was a fun one. But there's still more. We Never Get Back Together has a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of variations that depending on where she was or what she was doing. For example, she also performed it at the NRJ Awards in France in 2013, and she replaced what she was saying, you know, what she says, like, "I mean, this is exhausting,
I'm
blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
She replaced that with words in French, which...
She says, which is just so funny, I love, she goes, je t'aime toujours, and then she goes, "Je ne sais pas, no, we are never ever getting back together," and it's like the most sassiest thing.
So funny.
I love it. And it went, that little soundbite went viral on TikTok, and it was just, I loved it.
Right.
But it's just the fact that it's like, that she says, like, "I don't know, no." You know what I mean?
She just like,
again,
I don't
it doesn't
know.
Really make sense.
Yeah, it's not
it's
like the...
je t'aime toujours, and then she's like, no, leave me alone.
It's funny. It's not like the most coherent sentence that she's ever said, but it's so funny. I love little additions like that. Again, this is very like akin to the ones that we were speaking about, like where they're very like place specific, wherever you are, she kind of does a little change in a little thing. But this one is even better because to get a little bit in a different language, I think is so fun.
To get a bit of French.
Yeah, look at that. So I think it's really cool because it shows that, you know, she studied for whatever she was doing and made a note of it and made a point to make it special.
But in addition to that one as well, Taylor, for the Live on the Scene performance, which I highly recommend, by the way, like, please check that performance out. Incredible. Like, a really cool acoustic performance during the Red era on a boat. But anyway, she did something very similar to the NRG, and she added an extra bit before. And please, I just want to preference this. I am not French. I got a B in my GCSE French, and that was because I had a tutor that literally basically did everything for me because I was
not
told
me
I'd
making
fail
speak
it if
French.
I didn't. So, but I just want to premise this. I have a very English accent, so this is going to sound atrocious. If you are French, I apologize. But anyways, Taylor said this. "It m'appelle Il-Midi? Is that what she says?
Yeah.
And then she goes, je t'aime toujours, je ne sais pas, no. She says the same thing. But anyways, she says that, which basically means, what does it mean again?
Yeah, so she added a little bit before. In English, it would just be like, he calls me up and he says, I love you always.
And he says, I love you always.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah. But anyways, so yeah, those are fun ones, fun little additions. I wish you'd do that more, to be fair.
I love that.
It's probably quite a mission to have to know, like, it's a bit like poor Sabrina Carpenter, bless her, with the nonsense outros.
Yeah.
She started it, and obviously now it's become such a thing that she has, like, if she stopped doing it, it would, you know,
Feel
like this would be the same
thing.
Can
you imagine, like, if we were a Sabrina podcast and we had to recap every single nonsense outro?
Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah, she has to do, like,
screwed.
She has to study, she adds in, like, little things from the culture of every place that she sings it in. Like,
fair play.
Yeah, no, honestly, she does a good job, and some of them are dumb. RTAF, but they're good. They're funny though, and this is a bit like that. Yeah, this is very much like, you know, you've actually like picked out a very specific thing. You've done a bit of studying beforehand and preparation, and you've made it very a whole different language. So no, that's really cool. But yeah, those nonsense outros, crazy.
And I feel like if Taylor adopted this for like the Red Tour back in the day, it would have become a bit of a mission. So it's probably why she's like, I'll do French.
That's about it.
And then I'm not touching it again.
But having said that, something similar that is happening right now during the Eras Tour is her dancer Cam's additions to We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together as well. So originally, you know, in the United States, he would just sing the like ever, or, you know, scream the like ever part, which became quite a cool moment to celebrate anyway. And then when they were in Mexico, he said like nunca, which is basically never. And then it was fun to see that in Argentina, he decided to say ni en pedo, which is also like a very, very specific slang that is said in that area, which basically means like not, never, nothing ever, basically. And,
never gonna happen.
Yeah, basically. It's just basically, but it's very much used there. And so he must have, like, you know, looked
like
at up or spoken with someone who, you know, told him, yeah, you can use this phrase. And it's so nice to see, because it means like, I hope that he goes on to personalize, and we get, like, by the time that this episode is out, we will have seen them perform in Brazil. So will he say something different there? I hope so. I hope that...
Fingers crossed.
I know it's a big ask from him, but he got a tattoo of like a little image of him doing the like nunca, which became very, very just iconic on TikTok and everything. So I do hope that he keeps it up, because I'd like to hear him say some like personalized things for different places, you know, throughout Europe.
I'd love to
and
know
Asia.
What, like, what the English one would be. It'd be like, not gonna
happen, mate.
That would be funny. But no, those are good fun. I like the We're Never Ever Getting Back Together ones, especially the Paris ones.
So now we reach the halfway point with 1989, and we have one of those typical place specific ones once again, which again happened during the tour. So we have Blank Space, and this one wasn't so much like a lyric change or anything like that. It was just the addition, which again became like really recognizable because of the 1989 World Tour film that was released on Apple. So during Blank Space, she obviously interpolates herself screaming basically the name of wherever she was performing. The one that has become the most recognizable because it was featured on the Apple film was Sydney. And you know, that went on for a long time. Yeah, some people screamed it during like the Eras Tour performances.
The Eras Tour film. Yeah, Eras Tour film, like people would scream Sydney.
Yeah.
And I feel like people don't know now whether to scream Sydney or
all
where
the place.
They actually are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But my one when I went to that Titanic tour was Hyde Park.
That's
the one she did. but yeah, these are like, to be fair, like the Fearless Tour, what's it? Fearless Song and Tim McGraw one that we mentioned, where it's just like adding something. It doesn't really change much the meaning of the song, but just makes it more personal. But this is still a fun one and has become quite iconic from that era. But yeah, I do like this one. Sydney. And again, that soundbite has gone viral many a time on TikTok.
We then move on to Reputation, and in Reputation we do have a juicy one. Oh, I love these ones. It's I Did Something Bad, and it's basically the Rep Tour version of it, and she adds they don't need their reasons and it's just for fun, again during the bridge part of the song, right? So the original lyrics they're burning all the witches, even if you aren't one. They've got their pitchforks and proofs, their receipts and reasons. Here she goes like,
and then she like repeats, doesn't she, they're burning all the witches, yeah. Then it's just like, light me up,
that's it, yeah. So here for the Reputation stadium tour version, she replaces that and says they don't need their reasons and it's just for fun. And then we go into the iconic, they're burning all the witches, yeah. Oh, so good,
which is so cool. I think because also there's so many things to mention, and I'm sure someday we'll kind of probably get into it, but like tour versions of stuff just are like,
oh, yeah,
the additions just in general to the product. Like obviously we'd be here all day if we mentioned every single difference
in production,
pronunciation, all of that.
Yeah,
but
key changes.
I do think that tour does open it up so much more to all these cool, fun additions and extra little lyrics to kind of beef out sections of the songs.
And this one, even though there's not much of a change, there is still a lot of change. You know what I mean? So from saying, and their reasons, to they don't need their reasons. So they don't even really have reasons. They don't need them because they're doing it.
It's just for fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I love that little addition. It's just like such a, during such a crazy song, like such a loaded song,
oh, yeah,
to then add that little bit of, and it's just for fun, like that, there's absolutely
exactly
no other reason to do it. Oh
no. And talking about kind of additional things, this isn't necessarily a lyric,
mm-hmm,
but it's quite a fun thing, was during the Reputation stadium tour during Look What You Made Me Do, when she was like, on, was it National Snake Day, when she was like, and happy,
yes,
National Snake Day,
my
favorite
day
of the year. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
which isn't an added lyric text,
yeah,
but
no, it counts
fun
as a very much unhinged Taylor moment where she just says things,
yeah,
sometimes, which we've seen on the Eras tour as well. It's like, sometimes,
yeah,
it's like, what are you saying now on live national television?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what are you doing? No, that is, I Did Something Bad, it's a good one. Really fun. Like that one.
That leads us on to Lover. And during the Lover era itself, we obviously had a lot, and I mean a lot, of Me performances. And the...
Too many, to be honest.
Yeah.
Way too many. It was like, oh my God.
Here's, I mean, another performance of me.
Like, okay, another one and another one. On the most roguest places.
Yeah, she did.
Like,
she took me worldwide. She was in Tokyo.
Wide, yeah.
She was in France.
What was it? The German?
She was in German.
What was the, like, German
top model?
Top model.
That's it. Yes,
yes,
it was. Yeah. She.
And then Graham Norton.
Yeah.
Then, like, Paris, French The Voice,
yeah,
and then American The Voice. It was just like, where are you pulling these out from? Yeah, rogue. With Brendan, without Brendan.
Yeah, yeah. So
it was everywhere and anywhere.
The Bridge of Me suffered again some changes from its original version of that lyric, you will know the one that we mean.
Yeah.
To then Radio Silence by the end of it all, which is kind of sad to see.
Yeah.
Also, we've spoken about,
yeah,
Me before and that turn of events. But one thing that I do think, that if Loverfest had become a thing, and if maybe people hadn't responded so negatively towards that lyric, I do think they would have done this. This is very much similar to, you know, like the Blank Space, the Tim McGraw, the Fearless. And
yeah,
we saw this when Taylor and Brendan performed at the Billboard Music Awards, when they said, hey kids, Vegas is fun. So I do think they would have done that, like, depending on where,
oh,
they were.
Yeah, I think
hey,
it would have
kids,
been, hey,
London,
hey,
is
kids,
fun.
Yeah, London's fun.
Yeah,
yeah, like, yeah, New York's fun.
Yeah.
No, I think it would have been fun, but I think because of the hate, she just desperately wanted to just pretend like that never existed.
Well,
so just had to awkwardly, like, turn around or do something.
Just a little, like, little dance moment,
bit.
Yeah.
And then obviously then that did get totally removed from the album version.
We know.
Anyway, so
it is interesting to see how the album version is just, like, the little bit of silence.
Yeah, it's yeah, sad day, but oh well. But that one is quite a little fun addition, nothing too crazy.
No.
But
so yeah, at least we did get some of the Me performances with certain different lyrics for that little bridge part that would have shown us what it might have become. But in the end, as we all know, she eventually ended up not singing that part at all. Another song from Lover that actually the revised or added lyric wasn't added until very recently during the Eras tour is Cruel Summer. And it's the addition of an outro basically to the song, which I love it because just these two words repeated and like the act that she is doing or the movements that she's doing,
yeah,
in that moment changed the meaning of the song. It's no longer a lovey-dovey song. It's the song of us, and her. You know what I mean? Same thing for Miss Americana. But yeah, she basically adds at the end of Cruel Summer, with you, and she keeps saying with you, with you. And she
with you. It's a cruel summer. With you. With you. And she like points at people.
That's
it. It's so cool. Yeah.
Love that. She's pointing to people. In the stadium.
Oh, yeah. I love this edition. Again, nothing crazy. Isn't changing the whole, you know.
No, but just that little part reiterated and highlighted changes.
I love it. I think
the meaning.
I think it also just extends the song a little bit and doesn't feel so like, oh, done.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes she has a big old high note at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. Whenever I listen to Cruel Summer now, I always kind of like miss the part like, with you, with you.
Yeah, me too.
I need that little part a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to the live recording a lot now because I just do love that little addition at the end. It's just such a fun little thing, yeah. No, I do really like that one.
Next, we have the Folklore era, and this one, oh, this has to be one of my favourites out of all of this list.
Oh, 100%.
Possibly
100%.
My favourite, I think.
Top tier.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, maybe after the... I think the je t'aime.
Oh, just because of the fun of it.
Je ne sais pas. They're hilarious, and they're probably my favourite, like, fun ones, but this one is my favourite in terms of, like...
Serious.
It elevates the song.
Definitely. I wish this would have... I wish. But anyway, this is from My Tears Ricochet, and this was during the Folklore Long Pond studio sessions, which can be seen on Disney Plus. Basically, she sings the song, and then at the end of the song, she adds one little lyric more, which is, look at all of my tears turning into your tears, which is just like, okay, we know that she's already saying that during the song, but that just addition and clarification and I don't know, and her face during it and the drama and looking into
the camera.
And then
the huff at the end where she goes like, yeah.
Oh, she loves a little bit of drama.
This is My Tears Ricochet has had just off piece, but some of the coolest, like the Long Pond, I think that's the standout performance from Long Pond for me. My Tears Ricochet, like that song was elevated during Long Pond, and on the Eras Tour, it's just incredible. Like, again, just elevates the song even more. Just gorgeous.
It's just
top
like
tier
so,
song anyway, but
it feels so like religious and so like.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
you're
just
really
like,
very
wow, the emotion.
Yeah, very emotional. You know? Very like. I don't know, choir singing in the background.
It's like, go for blood, like aim for my heart. Like,
yeah,
oh,
and then that just not home part when she's like very, you know, swinging around and...
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, love it. Yes.
But yeah, this little...
No, this is top tier.
...edition. I don't know, it's just so good, isn't it? I think the delivery of it and the clarification of it all, really, really elevated it, yeah. So because you wanted to mention all of the eras, including one of my favourite eras, the much forgotten Evermore.
The little indie album, yes.
Yeah, we wanted to mention all of them. So although Evermore doesn't really have any live lyric changes or anything that we could think of that was very, very notable in like an actual change or addition, we did still want to mention a song. So we decided to mention a little mishap, a little mistake that she made and then tried to eliminate from the internet. So we are here to to hold it against her, basically.
Remind,
So it's during Champagne Problems. It was a video that she put up in which Aaron Dessner is playing piano. She is singing. She's in the wedding gown, basically, that she wore for the
I Bet You Think About Me.
Yeah, I Bet You Think About Me music video, which we didn't know at that moment.
I think it was the day they were doing... No, I think she later said or something that it was the day they were doing the try-ons, I believe.
Because obviously Aaron is in that in that MV as well in the background, but he's there.
So
they were just playing around and they were celebrating, or she posted it to celebrate the Grammy nominations back a couple of years ago now. And when she sung again, we're on the bridge. We're always on the bridge. Whenever
you've got to
be
the bridge,
trembling
yes.
when bridges come up with Taylor, because you never know what she's going to pull. But during it, she accidentally sung "Your mum's ring in your wallet, her picture in your wallet." So she kind of repeated the wallet instead of pocket for the ring. So
it's a chunky wallet if it's it's got a ring and
a wallet's
big old
got everything.
In it, well.
Yeah,
yeah. But no, that this one, yes. To be fair, I was thinking actually you could maybe potentially count Willow on the Eras Tour. With the like,
I guess that's true,
but it's not really an addition, it's just more like
it's like kind of more like a remixy moment,
Yeah, exactly. Whereas this one technically is a different lyric.
Yeah.
But was accidental. It's a bit like the Mine one, really.
Yeah. But no, you're right. Willow does have kind of like a different moment where she does kind of say something at the beginning and then go into the song. So at least there's that. But yeah, other than that, Evermore doesn't really have any additions. But you never know. She might feel chaotic another day and say something random during, I don't know, 'tis the damn season or something. That would be a laugh. And that leads us to the last lyric, which is the lyric that inspired this whole episode for us to finally record it and get around to it, because it's something that we've always been very interested in.
Yeah, it's been an idea that has kind of been on the back burner. As we said, we've had like, so there's so many episode ideas that will hopefully see the light of day. Some might not. But this one, yeah, was kind of
a vault episode.
An idea, yeah. Yeah, this is from the vault. But then this obviously recent lyric kind of was like, well, it couldn't be a more perfect time to release this episode.
Yeah. And that is Karma is the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me, from Karma at one of her recent Eras Tour performances. And yeah, it's iconic. And I think the funnest thing of it all is you can literally hear in her voice, like her like laughing to herself. Little, like,
nervous laugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And all the dancers' reaction, like no one saw it coming.
Yeah. It is funny. Obviously, she planned it and she was waiting for that moment for, you know, almost 3 hours. She waited for that moment.
I know. Yeah.
I was like, I'm ready for it. Yeah.
And the fact that her dad went nuts and like Travis went nuts, it was quite fun, and everyone went nuts.
It was quite a fun moment.
Was such a cool, like, again, totally off piece, but that was one hell of a cool night to be at. Like, it's like, you know, like the Nashville nights when she like released Speak Now, and then the LA nights when she released announced Speak Now, and then announced 1999 in LA. Like, I feel like the last night of the Argentinian show, or the last couple of nights were like some pretty cool ones to be at.
Definitely, yeah.
They were fun. There was so much, like, so many new things and this and that and cool performances and stuff.
Yeah, this one obviously sparked us to do the rest of it. So it's definitely one that has caused ripples throughout, like, the fandom, everyone watching all these different reactions of one person, another person, seeing how the world has just, like, gone into meltdown over just her changing one word. But
one
it is.
Lyric.
Gosh, she's down bad, isn't she? That's all we can say, really.
Oh, bless her. Yeah.
She's in the trenches.
It is funny that, literally just one lyric, like, on the screen to on the Chiefs.
Yep. Which, if anyone doesn't know, we should contextualize it for you guys in case. So the Chiefs is a reference to the Kansas Chiefs, which is the NFL football team, American football team, which Travis Kelce plays in. You know, it all makes sense when you bring it all together.
So I guess then, as we've come to the end, what is your favourite of these ones that we've mentioned?
Yeah, I think we said it in the moment, and I still very much agree with it, just because of the drama of the kind of delivery of it. I do love My Tears Ricochet. After that, I guess I Did Something Bad is also a really, really good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Yeah. And then for the fun of it, I'm going to also say We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Yeah, just time.
And especially the additions that Cam does as well. I do love them.
Yes.
What about you?
Yeah, no, they are fun. I think, yeah, very similar. My Tears, definitely favourite. And yeah, as I've said a million times, the We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. But I also do like the Permanent Marker. I just love that. I don't appreciate you.
Yeah. It is a whole
and him, you know,
entire
what I mean?
Bridge.
So
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So those are probably my favourites.
And as you said, these are just like actual lyric changes in which words are changed or sentences are added, or, you know, different things are said. But there are a lot of changes in production and in
pronunciation.
Lyrical delivery, which are so, so interesting. Some of them that we can think of just recently from the Eras Tour are things like when she absolutely screams, "The loudest woman this town has ever seen," which is, I love that part.
The one.
And Take Her Home, which everyone absolutely goes wild for.
Loves. Or even just like things just in the past, like Blank Space, or often bridges and like the Don't Blame Me. Even Look What You Made Me Do, like She's Dead, screaming that.
So there's so many,
which is why we tried to stick to ones that were more additional lyrics or swap outs,
not just like changes in like notes, but in actual words. Yeah.
Because otherwise we'd be here all day.
Definitely. No, but it is still very interesting to see how live performances of songs can elevate them, can change them, and can give them a second life and completely recontextualize them, which I think is great. And it's something that Taylor says at the beginning of the Eras tour, you know, these songs are now going to be transformed, and they can be transformed, and that's the fun thing. And they can have like little additions. I do hope she still does that like forever, just gives us a little ad lib now and then, just whatever's going on in her mind.
Yes. And please bring back Je t'aime toujours. I love it.
Oh,
I really,
when she goes
I
to
really
France
liked it before,
year.
But
we will
oh,
see.
She better. Please. I would love that. But she did miss the biggest trick ever with
Vegas Acrobat. Yes.
In Vegas.
Yes.
So it's sometimes you know
that
the wires
true.
Aren't you know connected.
No.
So,
there's a lot
crossed,
going on.
Fingers
yeah.
crossed. She's got a lot to think about. Bless her. But
yeah.
Fingers crossed. I would love that addition. But yeah, I've loved going back through these. This has been so fun.
Yeah, we do love a good lyric change and switch up. If you did enjoy this episode and would like to see more episodes like this, let us know, because there are a couple more that we had thought of and are also in the vault of ideas. One of them was checking out her differences between explicit lyrics, like swear words, and then how she changes them for the clean versions, which we have spoken about before, but it would be like going over all of the different ones, because obviously since we spoke about it, I think at that point Midnights may have been around, may not have been around, I can't remember.
No, I don't believe so.
So
I don't believe Midnights was, I think we were still very much in Evermore era,
right? Yeah. Yeah, so
way back when.
So there you go. So if you enjoy this type of content, please do let us know by giving this video a like on YouTube. If we have missed any prominent ones, leave us a comment and let us know. If there's any that you remember hearing when you went to a certain Taylor Swift concert, or if there's a performance that you love that had like one of these little type of lyrical changes, then yeah, please go ahead and let us know, because like we said, we love a good lyric analysis. We live for it. So yeah, do let us know. Leave us a comment. Other than that, you can also subscribe if you do enjoy our content. If you're listening over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, then you can rate us if you do enjoy the podcast. And finally, if you want to see more behind the scenes content and be in the know if any bonus episodes are coming up, then you can follow us over on Instagram. Our handle is @SwiftlySpokenPodcast. Other than that, thank you very much for listening, and we will speak to you again very soon.